Hello and welcome back to the F24 podcast. My name is David, and as often as possible, I sit down with a creative in my studio in North Acton to talk about their lives and interactions with London culture and creativity. But like most of you, I'm in lockdown. I'm on my narrow boat on the canal. I'm just out west of the city limits, and I've set up a little studio space under a tree next to my woodpile, producing small paintings and sculptures. The effect of this worldwide lockdown is having quite an effect on me. But as many listeners know, what I love about creativity and its therapeutic assets, well, I've been putting them to use. And I hope you have too, and are all well and bearing up with this madness. I'm sure we'll have it figured out soon. In the meantime, I've been on Skype chatting to creatives and getting these interviews done. And this week, I have Diego Bergia. Diego's from Toronto, and his work caught my eye a couple of years ago when I saw a 90s-style video game online, and it showed Revok Giant Cez doing tags and extinguisher hits while shooting robots. It fucking blew my mind. I did a little stalking and I found out he wrote graffiti and thought, yep, that's my ish. As I ain't seen people face to face, I thought I'd hollow Diego, get some of his history, and, well, I'm glad I did, because there's a dope surprise halfway through when we get into a wheat pasting period he was in. Go and check him at Diego_Bergia on Instagram while you listen. There's a fuckload of amazing content on there, no joke. It's amazing, all serious. And enjoy. This is some of Diego's Toronto culture and creativity story. This is F24.
It is. So, man, yeah, look, thank you for jumping on, man. And did you get a chance to hear any?
I listened to the last couple. Yeah, they're dope, man.
Wicked. Wicked, man. Mm. Yeah, I love doing them, man. I'm very interested in how people got to where they are. I'm 40. And I look at other artists and other people, creators, who have obviously come from a culture, and specifically our culture.
Yeah.
And I love to know that journey, man, especially. And I love a bomber story, but I just love someone just finding their shit going through that culture and how amazing it is to then just doing something completely different.
Right.
Or not, you wouldn't think would be within it, you know, but because of it. You know, I love that stuff. And obviously through what I've seen of your work, I'm just like, wow, man, there's a sick story. And I think I've seen a few old school photos of your work as well, your other work.
Yeah.
So I'm quite intrigued to have a chat with you about it, man.
Yeah, man.
Wicked. So yeah, let's get into it then. So you're from Canada then, yeah?
Yep, Toronto.
Toronto, man. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's wicked, man. So did you grow up there in Toronto?
Yeah, I grew up just outside Toronto in Scarborough. Scarborough is a part of Toronto now, but back then it was like a suburb. Really big, really multicultural. People think it's, I don't know, it gets like a bad rep, but it's, you know, there's good areas and there's bad areas.
Right.
And
did it feel very separate to Toronto when you were growing up?
Not really. No, I mean, it wasn't a city per se, but you know, we could hop on transit and get downtown in under an hour.
Right. Yeah.
So
okay.
It was just a mission.
It's just a mission. Yeah. Of course. And so, what was it like growing up out there then, man? What was it like out there, Scarborough?
It was chill. You know. Yeah. No, just. I don't know what to compare it to, really. It was like we lived in a townhouse, you know, just had friends, ran around. I wasn't scared. You know, it wasn't a bad neighborhood, really.
Upbringing, like nice neighborhood, people out there. Obviously, normal stuff going on, like everywhere.
But right.
You did get to see. Yeah, I hear you. I see what you mean.
Lots of minorities, then, though.
Yeah. So from the go, you were aware of many different types of people.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wicked. And where are you from, actually? What's your heritage?
Nationality? Well, I'm born here. My dad's from Argentina, born and raised. Yeah. And my mom's Greek. Uh-huh. And they met.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
They met in Toronto. Yeah. Wicked. I'm half Irish, half Egyptian. And I was born, my mum and dad met here. I don't know my dad, but that's another story. But yeah, my mum and dad met in London. And it's quite nuts growing up in these places with foreign parents, isn't it, in these major cities? Because you automatically are in some way connected to somewhere else, even though you were born in Toronto. I was born in London. Growing up with my mum being Irish, there was this connection to Ireland, even though I didn't go till I was like 9 or something. Did you kind of feel, did you feel the heritage of your parents like growing up there?
Yeah, I grew up with my grandparents around a lot. So there was a lot. I don't really speak that well, the Spanish too well anymore, because I kind of lost it. But I mean, they were around, and I have family, other family from Argentina that I would see a lot. So in that sense, definitely felt the heritage. There wasn't a lot of Spanish speaking actually in Scarborough. There's a lot of West Indian, a lot of East Indian, a lot of Chinese. The Spanish Hispanic community was more in the West End of Toronto, and I was, and Scarborough is the East End.
I see. But, mad.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Is Canada quite similar? I mean, I suppose it's quite same here. So in the UK, you don't really get, unless it's by choice, groups of certain ethnic groups living together, unless it's by choice. It's never really by force. I don't think, I might be being fucking stupid here, but it seems to me that in America, and I'm wondering if it's the same in Canada, is there this type of separation that goes on of these areas being built? Is it a purpose thing, or is it just how it is? Families just grow up in these areas.
I would say that it's segregated maybe in class in some areas, but not so much in race. And if it is heavy in on one race, it's because of choice, you know, because like there's an area, you know, just outside of Toronto called Markham, and there's lots of Chinese people there. And that's where you go if you want like the best Chinese food, because it's a lot of new families coming to Toronto and Canada and moving to Markham, you know?
Right. I see. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's similar, man. Nice. So it didn't feel, basically, there was no pressure. It was a nice community. Different nationalities just outside the main city. Yeah, wicked. And how was school growing up? What was that like? Were you good in it? Was it something you enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess high school, you know, growing up, I was in French immersion for a bit. And then school got fun when I went to high school, because I went to an out of district high school that was like specializing in arts.
Oh, wow, wicked.
And so that's where I really met all my good friends that I'm still down with today, and a lot of the guys I wrote graffiti with, because we would do, like, starting in grade 9, we were doing art half the day, you know?
How did you get into that? How was that a possibility from the previous school, the primary school? What did you call it? Sorry, I forget what you called the first school.
I guess I said public school, but, like, when I went to grade 9, the school is called Wexford, and you basically, like, my parents just heard about it. And my mom was a teacher, I guess. And, you know, I just showed them some art and they said, cool.
Come and study here.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. What a time. You've been in spot then from a young age.
Yeah.
And was that, is your parents artists, or is it just something you seem
to? No, they just, like, I'm an only child. So they would just like throw a paper and a pen in front of my face, you know, when we were out for dinner or whatever. And I'd be drawing, right?
Yeah, man, look, just do this, Diego. Come on, just draw. We're talking here, man.
Yeah.
wicked. So, yeah, so it became a talent then. You fell in love with it and obviously pursued it, and it became a talent. But for your mum to say, look, you know, why don't you try this as a school?
Yeah. The school is really, really dope. I can't understand it. Like they even let us paint. Like this one staircase in, like, when I got into graffiti, which was in high school, in grade like 9 or 10. And I guess that's like 90. I'm 43. So that's like 1990, I guess. They even like let us paint like the stairway indoors and stuff, like
with graffiti.
Yep.
So what was the entrance into graffiti then? Was it that college? Was it that school as well?
Before that, you know, there was, in Scarborough, there was the RT lines, which is kind of like an elevated train line that had graffiti, along like factories there. And then downtown there's a famous wall called the Keel Wall, and that's along the subway line. And along the highway, the DVP, which is a major highway in Toronto, if when you take the train over it, there was a lot of graffiti. That those are like three of the major spots. There's obviously other ones. And, you know, I was always into rap, basically, starting from grade six or something, you know? And so the rap introduced me to the culture. And then since I was into drawing already, and then I was starting to see graffiti in the early 90s, you know, I just gravitated towards it.
Amazing, man. Amazing. I love it.
And then I met the guys at Wexford at my high school that were doing it. And then,
what?
Yeah.
So those bits, like getting into hip hop and, you know, these little seeds being dropped in through from just listening to music, like other things to look out for and see and understand and all that type of stuff. The music's so deep. There's so much in it to find out. And, you know, a mixtape cover and it's got a hand style on it. And you realize the hand style on that mixtape, I see hand styles of that written on the streets. Like, there's a connection here. Like, and I love those bits, man. I love those early years of mixing the two. They're amazing. Sick. So when you, Wexford, you call it, yeah?
Yeah, Wexford, yeah.
When you got there, did you know anyone before you got there?
No. I was, I went on my own. And, I'm, you know, since it was an art school, you know, you make friends who, everyone does art, so that's good. Well, not everyone, half the school. But then, you know, then you see people that are kind of like, you know, they're like, you know, you see them put like a Tribe Called Quest into their Walkman or something, you know, or you, then you start finding people that are into rap, and then you're already, then you're friends with people that are into rap and art. So, you know, you make friends pretty quick.
That is dope, man. And what age? 13?
High school. Yeah. About 13, 14, I guess.
Dope, man. And half the day, half the week doing art.
Yeah. Yeah. Even sculpture, like, yeah, everything.
All types, yeah. Yeah, just exploring that whole world, basically.
Right, it's kind of like a... Yeah.
Yeah, that is brilliant. So did you do well there?
I mean, yeah, I graduated. I was okay at... I wasn't terrible at, like, you know, like math, and I wasn't that good at math and science. I was okay, enough to get, like, 70s, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And graduate, got into college for animation after that. So
how was graffiti for that overlap? Like, what happened? Like, so you got into graffiti at that age, you were seeing up on the streets, and then you were like, right, I can be into this.
Yeah, well, I met a guy named Duro. I had friends that were into it, but then this guy Duro, my homie Duro 3, who was painting a lot in Scarborough, one of the first to paint in Scarborough.
Would he have been in magazines? In the 90s?
Yep, and he had his own magazine called Third Degree as well.
That's how I know it. So that's your guy?
Yeah.
I know that magazine, man. I loved that magazine. I only got a couple of them, and one of them was a present to me, actually, by my friend's older brother. That was a sick magazine.
I'm in some of those.
Amazing paper and burning pieces. And I must have been 17 or 18. So obviously it was amazing to me back then. Sorry to stop you, but wicked, Duro 3, dope.
Yeah, he was really, so he was inspirational in a sense to just go out and get up and also to do really big productions. You know, he was about getting up and going big. Wicked. And so that was good to get down with him. And then I joined a crew with him and some other guys. And then, you know, and from then through graffiti, I discovered downtown really. And then a lot of the writers downtown, like the crew that was doing it was TCM downtown at the time in the early 90s, like Ren and Rekka and Kane and there's a lot of guys downtown doing it and just kind of separate at the time. But graffiti brought me downtown and I started meeting people downtown. And it was fun to go downtown and explore, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. And so it's like an hour and a bit away from your home. I mean, you're really out of the area. You're really out of the manor. And you're with different people as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those early years, great for that, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, even though you got into the graph and got, you know, loved it and was going downtown, you managed to hold down school and go on to get them to this animation career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wicked, man. Wicked. So what was being in that college, being in that school at Wexford, was it that taught you about animation? Did they like lead you to that line, or was it something you'd been interested
in? Yeah, well, you would hear about it. Sheridan College was in Oakville, which is like an hour and a half out of Toronto or something like that. And it's a sleepy town, but the school was like really world renowned at the time. Maybe it still is, I guess, but like, and it was known for, you know, it's like how hard it was to get in, how hard it was to graduate. And it was really like a boot camp for drawing because there was no computers. And my life really just kind of was at a halt. Like I went there, I lived at that town, and during school, I didn't do much of anything except for learn how to draw and animate traditionally. You know what I mean?
So you slowed down on the graph then?
Yeah, except for the summers, you know?
Except for the summers, yeah. During those school terms, that's what you had to do. You had to just be up there and get that work done and, yeah, get it through.
Being out of the city too, being out of Toronto helped just like, you know, put it aside. Like I didn't have my friends hitting me up to do shit or anything. I had some friends at Sheridan with me, but we were all in the trenches.
Must be properly inspiring, man, like to be in somewhere like that. For how long were you there? Like 3-4 years?
Three, yeah.
Must have been crazy, man. It's like going to an art college here, but you don't get to do that till you're 16, 17. You don't get to choose to go and do something like that. Over here, it's all, you know, it's everything you have to learn all the way up to that age. Up to 16, it's every subject, no specialising. I mean, a little bit in the final 2 years when you go to get your first set of grades. But yeah, I would have loved that opportunity, man. That sounds dope. That should be a worldwide thing. Mm-hmm. Do they, with any other types of like, do they do it with electrician, plumbers, like, do they do it those types of schools as well, like trade schools?
I don't know, man.
Or is it just the art one that you know of? Yeah, yeah.
Well, crazy. Yeah, I think there must be ones that specialize in that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, that needs to spread in education, man. That gives people such a chance, like to not put so much stress on, you know, all these other subjects.
Yeah.
My son's 19, right? He finished school at 16. He didn't go. He went to college for 1 week and then left, but it wasn't for him. But it was mainly because of the way the school system is. I didn't go to college either. And the school system here can be so, like, it can beat you up for not getting these grades in science, maths, English, and all that type of stuff. But you could be a hell of a creative, and they just don't give a fuck. And you get to these points where you get through to these grades and you really have to study these other subjects to get through to then produce and be an artist. And it's time for some people like my son, it knocked his confidence to hell. Like for a couple of years, it kind of messed him up, you know, he felt like he couldn't achieve because he failed at school. So what you went through, he's fine now. He's a wicked guy. He's brilliant. Lovely kid. But, and it wasn't too bad for him. I'm just, you know, for him himself, it was bad. On looking, he was all right. But, you know, for him himself, being a young kid, it was hard to go through. But, yeah, I love the sound of that type of school and college you went to, man. That's dope. So what got you, sorry to run off on that mad tangent. What got you into animation? Was it something you loved from a kid as well then?
Yeah, you know, I liked cartoons. It just seemed like, I mean, it's a matter of graphic design, you know, and the animation thing just seemed a little more interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I love graphic design too. At the time, that's the direction I decided to go.
Wicked, man, wicked. And so what were your first bits you started to get into? Like to do yourself?
My own animation?
Yeah, yeah. What were those first pieces like that you were doing?
Well, what did I do for myself? I mean, at school, there was just a lot of, I did like some short films, you know, it was all about like really developing character designs for the most part. I wasn't like immediately doing my own like shorts so much, you know what I mean? Just like learning how to drawing characters. It wasn't until later until I started animating things for myself, you know?
That is, let me say, there's a real like whole set of training. It's not just a press button and go. It's you're gonna learn all these stages and all these levels beforehand.
Yeah,
that's a good age as well. I mean, like, I'm 40, you're 43. Like, experiencing life pre-computer was fucking gorgeous, man. And I'm, you know, we just caught the end of it, but thank God we did. Like, the appreciation of a pencil and a ruler. I love my iPad, but fuck me.
Yeah,
I can't deny it. I have a pencil and a ruler. you know, and those, yeah, the effort you have to put in to produce that type of work is, yeah, especially animation's immense at that stage.
Right.
So did you choose to, was it then you chose to do it as a career? Did you choose that whilst you were at college? Like, I'm going to do this as a living?
Yeah. When I went there, I heard that there was work afterwards. So, yeah, I did some traveling actually before I went to college, but then I was like, I went full into college and then I started making money right after that. And then I was like, save money to travel. And then, you know, I've done a lot of traveling and it's all about saving money so you could go away, you know?
Yeah. Dope ethos, man. Amazing ethos. Where have you been?
Been to throughout Europe, pretty much almost everywhere. I haven't been to Spain.
Okay.
I haven't been to Poland. But right. In Asia, you know, I've been to Nepal and Japan and Argentina, obviously, and where else?
Did you take any graffiti with you on those trips, or was it just like,
back in the day, the first time I painted overseas was when I went to Paris in like 98 or so. You know, so it's like basically pre-internet. It was cool. I was with a buddy who didn't paint and we were at the Eiffel Tower. And then, you know, you looked across the river and there was just enough people on those stairs there, just kids hanging everywhere. You know, there was like a breakdance circle. So I had broken. Wait. And I was just like, yo, are there any writers in around? Like, I want to paint. I'm from Canada. Is there anyone around? And so they're like, here, come with me. Talk to this person. And the person was like, oh, okay, come with me. Talk to this person. And eventually they like gave me this phone number. So he's like, call this guy. He'll paint with you, you know? And I was like, all right. And so I called this guy and he's like, meet me at this station at this time. And then, you know, we'll go buy paint and we'll rock. I was like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
But
they got early graph shop as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, man, do you remember who the writer was?
His name was, what did he write? One guy wrote, I haven't been in touch with them though, you know?
Still an amazing experience, man. Dope experience. Yeah. I love Paris to bits. Definitely one of my favorite cities. For graffiti especially, man, I love Parisian style. Mm-hmm. And the city is obviously beautiful. It's a beautiful city, but there's nothing seeing it. When it's rocked as well, certain parts of it get rocked to fuck and it looks sick. I love their style. Like certain subway stations, I can't remember the station where the graph shop is or one of the graph shops. And you get off at the station and the whole stairwell, as you're going up, all the flats of the fronts of the stairs are just bombed by different writers over and over again. There seems to be a lot of respect as well. There's not too much, you know what I mean? There's a lot of names and names and names, not just over each other.
Right.
Like that. I love Paris Graph, man. That's wicked to have painted there back then.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Later on, I had a chance to paint in Stockholm.
Oh, dope, man. I've never been there. Dope. Sick city. Sick graph scene.
It's one of my favorite cities in the world, no doubt. Like, Stockholm is like a second home, it feels like. I've been twice.
Oh, wicked, wicked. And you love it, yeah. There are places like that, man, when you find them. I haven't been there, man. I want to see that place on Sunday. Do you remember who you painted there?
Yeah, I'm still homies with him. He writes Euro. He still gets up a lot, actually.
Wicked. Wicked, man. I love those trips, man. Nothing like it, man. When you traveling with this culture is amazing because it can literally be like that. Just walk into a crowd and ask someone who's a writer. You know, if you know the crowds, like you did know. You know. How did you meet the guy in Stockholm?
That was in like, when I met him, it was around 2000, and that was still early internet, right? So I was at a cafe, drinking a coffee, and there was some Swedish girls beside me. I was just trying to talk to Swedish girls, and so that was my line, like, yo, do you know any writers? Just trying to talk to the girls, but hopefully to try and get hooked up with some guys to paint with. And then same thing, you know, they just like called some people and were like, all right, yo, hit up this guy. And then and I did. And I'm still friends with him to this day. He came to my wedding like 6 months ago.
Oh, wicked, man. Oh, dope. And congratulations. Brilliant. That's wicked. Wicked friendships in this culture, man. Dope. So you get back and you start working. And did you work within the animation world then straight away?
Yeah.
Imagine. Where did you go first?
It's a company called Nelvana. They're actually a very big company. Their logo is a polar bear, you know, at the end of old cartoons. The first thing I worked on was like Tales from the Crypt Keeper, doing like story revisions. What else did I work on there? Like, I don't know, like just they do a lot of children's stuff too.
That's mind-blowing, man. That's amazing to have jumped into that.
Yeah.
You must have been stoked. And where was that? In Toronto?
Yep.
Yeah, wicked. And then, you know, what led you back to, you know, reflecting at graffiti to, you know, start producing these old school graphics?
Like how start producing what, sorry?
Start looking back at graffiti. Was there anything before this look back at graffiti with these old school graphics that you've done of Reebok and, you know, Giant and so on and so forth, all those guys? What was the lead up to that, to produce those works? Like,
I guess after college, I learned, after I went to Sheridan, I learned how to do 3D stuff. I took like a 4-month course to learn how to do Maya, like 3D animation.
Right.
And that's when I actually, there was a period where I was heavy into the street art scene, which is, I guess I'll call it a street art because it's not graffiti. It's like posting.
Yeah.
And I was painting less, but I had this character that I had built in a 3D program called Maya. And I wanted to put him up. So I basically began printing him about like 2.5-3 feet, like in big pictures. And I just started putting him up around Toronto. And then I would visit, you know, other cities. I went to New York with him. I brought him to like LA and Stockholm and Prague. And, you know, I got up with him quite a bit. And so I don't know if you remember Worcester Collective, that website.
Love the Worcester Collective, man. I loved that website.
Yeah, so they put me up. Those guys, Mark and Sarah, I'm still friends with them. Like, they really put me on. And so I was, you know.
What did this thing look like? Just trying to picture it.
His name's Lepos, L-E-P-O-S. And he just kind of looks like a...
That was your character?
Like a bean shape, yeah.
I remember that really well. I remember the Lepos stuff, man.
Yeah.
Amazing. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
Sick.
So that was a whole bunch. So before I kind of doing that is what led to the video game stuff kind of, because that I had this character and people were like, yo, why don't you make a short film with it? And I'm like, I don't really have I'm not really inspired with a story or an idea to do a short film, but I love arcades, right? I love old 90s arcades like Neo Geo and all that shit. So
people who said that to you though, were they like in that, in the animation world, would they say to you, you need to make a short film out of this character?
I guess so. Or maybe just friends or just...
Yeah, so friends that knew there was a crossover, knew that you had this skill where you could do this with this character. You could... Actually, am I looking at the character now? I am, aren't I?
Oh, yeah, on this Skype thing, yeah.
Man, I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, yeah, I know that. I know, but I didn't let it properly soak in. I was just very accepting of the image. Wow. Yeah. Sick, like you got up with that fucker, man.
Yeah.
You got up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Dope. And so that led into you then, so that they were saying you should make it into a short story. You were like, I'm into 8-bit video games.
I really love arcade games, yeah. So I was like, I want to see it as an arcade game.
Sick.
So I basically there's actually a comic book company, a publishing company owned by Annie Koyama in Toronto called Koyama Press, who just finished its 10-year run as a publisher, but she published my first book and also kind of got me started to do the very first demo, like animated demo of like an arcade, like Lepos in an arcade game. And then I had an art show book launch at a Magic Pony.
I think if I put two and two together a bit more, I should have. I knew all that as well. I knew about the Lepos. I'm remembering all of that now.
Yeah.
What a fucking idiot. How did I not put two and two together? Anyway, go on.
I don't post a lot about it on Instagram. It's kind of like, it's weird. I kind of got tired of it. The weed pasting, like, I don't know, like something about it, or maybe something similar happened in the city and it kind of turned me off of my own stuff. And there's also like, part of me is like, when I went from graffiti to doing the postering, it's kind of like the two worlds, you know, you know, some may look at one way and one the other way. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
It's very small in street, in wheat pasting. I did a bit of that with like this London alphabet I put together, basically London writers' letters. And I made this alphabet. And then I screen printed that to posters, and then I pasted that on the streets. And then I can't remember. I know I've done something else street arty, but it just feels, obviously for some people it works. People like Iron, people like Shepherd, obviously he didn't have much of a graph career beforehand. Giant, for some people it works. But yeah, I know what you mean. There is a real difference, isn't there?
Yeah. They're both their own thing, but they're definitely different.
Yeah. It's a weird vibe, but yeah, mad that you went through that. So sorry, towards the end of you doing that work, what were you saying? Sorry.
What was I saying?
Oh. You were just, you know, you're getting bored of producing the wheat paste.
Yeah. So I guess that's when I began going hard on the arcade demos. I put out that book in 2009, I think. And so that was near the end of my wheat pasting, like activity. And then I just started doing more and more of these animated things that look like an arcade game, you know, it's not playable, but I tried to make them look exactly like it was a game from the 90s. Right.
Yeah.
And eventually, the main thing that happened that got me into involving graffiti heavily in that actual arcade game project was I was living in like a loft space, and we all got evicted. But when we got evicted, we got like a few, like $3,000-$4,000 or something because of it.
Oh, wow.
I decided to just like leave, and I went to San Francisco for a summer, and or not a summer, just like a month and a bit. And I'd never been. So I just like put myself there and decided I was going to work on my stuff. And when I was doing a San Francisco level, like since I was there, I was doing a demo for San Francisco. And then Revoke's blog at the time was really big. And he, I guess, discovered my stuff and put me up on his blog. And then we were in touch. And he's like, yo, I love it. Like anything I can do to help, like just let me know. I was like, well, yo, do you want to be a character in it? He was like, yo, let's do it. So that's when I was like, because he's, you know, he's a king, right? He is one of my favorite writers. He is my favorite writer of all time, right? So once I got him in there, I was like, yo, do you think, are you friends with Cess? Do you think he'd be down? Because he's another one of my favorite writers of all time. And he's like, he just like introduced me right away, right? And Cess was down right away. So I got Cess in there. And then after that, one of the main graffiti crew that I wrote with in Toronto was a Canadian crew called Quota. We were an all Canada crew. We were pretty deep. It's a pretty big crew in the history of Canadian graffiti. But one of my boys who writes Sight also writes BA, and so he is friends with Mike Giant. And so I was just like, "Yo, do you have his contact?" And then that's how I got in touch with Giant.
Wow, that is sick.
Demos, yeah, basically.
And then started to put those images together, yeah. And what have you done with those pieces over the years? Because so you've made like these short of what look like computer games, and then have you released prints of these or anything like that? Or is this all like online?
I had prints at my initial show, which was 2009. I haven't released prints since then. I released a zine, was kind of like a book that came in a video game box. That was like almost two years ago now, which, yeah, it's like, it looks like you're holding a video game box. Inside is screen caps of all of the demos that I did up to date, but mixed with black and white bombing photos that I got from Revoke and Giant and Cess. So it's I'll hook you up.
Oh, please. That sounds right up my street, man. Thank you, B. Okay. And then, like, so you just keep adding and making the story bigger and bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just spare time. That's the thing, right? I go through waves of I'm heavy into it, and then work gets in the way. Like, I've never made money off it. I've done commission thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like a this is my love right here. I love this shit. I'm going to give it to you all. But yeah. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. And so what do you do as a job then? What do you work? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still doing animation stuff. Funny enough, the job I just finished, when is this going to drop? Tuesday or after Tuesday?
Yeah, after Tuesday, yeah.
Okay. So a big job I just finished that I can say, because it'll be out, because they're announcing the new, Tony Hawk video game.
Yeah.
And what it is that it's Tony Hawk 1 and 2 redone for, so it's going to be the exact same game, but redone, you know?
Sick.
And a buddy of mine is the art director. And so the Venice level, he's like, yo, I need a bunch of graffiti for the Venice level. So I just covered the Venice level in graffiti.
Oh, shit. There's someone on the inside, man. There's someone on the inside.
And that's not the first time I've had my graffiti in video games, too, because he hooked me up. I gave him photos of my painted wall graffiti, and it's in Tony Hawk 8. And then I had a friend that did a game called EA Skate 2, and that had the Lepos posters in it.
Oh, amazing. And I love when this shit starts popping up, man. That's another thing with our age and how old the culture is the positions we find ourselves in, but then the positions, like the people who are just a bit older than us, or, you know, around our age that grew up with it and are now in a position to make these things happen because they grew up with graffiti. You know, they grew up with street art, you know, and they want that involved. I remember seeing, I can't remember, some Netflix cartoon, and this van pulled up and it had fucking some old school New York tags on it, like genuine old school New York tags. I sent them to Keo. I was like, the fuck, this is amazing. Like someone on the inside. I love that.
Let it bleed.
That sounds sick. So that launches next week then, yeah?
No, they announce it next week.
Next week, wicked. Okay. So that's been the latest project you've been working on, yeah.
I'm excited because I don't know about you. I was obsessed with those first couple Tony Hawk games, man. We sat and played those for fucking hours.
I've never been into computer games. My son's into them deep. I've never been into them. I just didn't. It wasn't my thing, but my son loves it. And he's played Tony Hawk. I know he has. He's a skater, semi-skater. I'll say skater. He's a lazy shit when it comes to that. But yeah, he loves that whole world, should I say. He loves the whole world. So what's life like now then? I mean, are you still working then? Because you're in animation. You can still work from home and all that type of stuff. Has there been a massive effect on you and your life with this lockdown? How's Canada doing?
It slowed, it seems like it slowed down for a minute, but then it just got really busy again for me. And now I just finished that job and another one. So it's like, from what I understand, the animation industry seems to be like one of the best industries to be in because
definitely
everyone's working from home now. Same with the video game industry. People can work from home. There's people can, and things are released online or, you know, like there's nothing really stopping production.
Yeah, exactly. In those worlds, is not. That's brilliant, man. That's good to hear that you're cracking on. That's dope. And I think this is the thing. For others, there's just going to be, you know, we're going to see what happens at the end of it. I work for Universal Movies quite a lot, and I get to produce art projects for them, but in a really weird vein. I'm very lucky, my position. It's got nothing to do with sales or anything. But I wonder how my position is going to hold there and what, you know, what a company like that's going to do. You know, how is film production going to work now? You know,
right.
But animation, you know, video games, that world's going to boom no matter what happens next. That shit's going to work, man. That's wicked. Go to here. And how's Canada coping with all of this? Is there a major lockdown there or is it starting to calm down, or?
It's been, I don't know. I feel like people, I mean, there's the assholes that, you know, might go protest at Queen's Park, which is, you know, but like for the most part, I feel like everyone's, you know, respecting, you know, the government's decisions to stay inside.
Yeah.
If you know, like we can still go shopping. Masks aren't like mandatory, but, you know, most people wear them.
Common sense type of thing.
It's weird, you know, like we're neighbors to the States. And it seems like they're definitely doing worse down there. I don't know, man. It's a weird situation down there. I love America so much. You know, I love New York. I love LA. I love Texas. I love the desert. Like, but yeah, and I'd love to live there too. It's just right now, people just need to get their shit together, it sounds like.
I mean, look, that country and our country as well, man, our leadership is fucked. And it looks in the wrong direction, man, not for its people. It looks at money. And like our government's trying to send us back to work and, you know, open things up slowly but surely. You know, not putting his foot on the pedal, but it's just like, bro, it ain't safe out there, man. You can't guarantee the safeness and you're not really aiding the safeness. So jog the fuck on. But then there are an awful lot of people out there. Like yesterday was VE Day. There were street parties up and down the country, man. But then we get reports then this morning that the NHS, like the A&Es, the accident and emergency wards and worked up a fucking full to the brim last night full of fucking drunken idiots. It's like, we don't need that bullshit at this time, you fucking moron. Sorry to get angry, but I want to go back to my studio, man. I want to work again. I want to see what my clients are saying. Yeah. I had some really interesting projects lined up for the year and they've all gone, but you know, so is the world. Everyone's at it, but damn, what a weird fucking time, man.
And it's really, we don't know. I think whatever Sweden's doing is really interesting. Like, I hope they're okay. Yeah. You know, everyone. Yeah. No, they're being, you know, like, we'll see. Like, I have so much respect for Sweden and the people there and the government, you know, like.
Yeah, we'll they're not, it doesn't seem like it's a stupid, egotistical choice that they've made. Do you know right. what I mean? Or like, just off the bat, like, fuck it, we're not going to, we're going to do this. They're a clever, you know, a clever government. You know, they're straight up people. Right. Look, who fucking knows, basically? That, no, it's all so fresh. Also fresh. Who fucking knew this was 2020?
Yeah.
But man, look, horrible stuff going on, obviously, around the world. Absolutely disgusting. But we can't deny that there's a lot of great shit happening as well, man. An awful lot of great shit. And definitely from the people, you know, and from our own creative world as well. There's a lot of stuff being made, a lot of stuff being, you know, produced. And, you know, people are raising mad money. You know, the people, not the rich people, just the normal people are raising right. mad money. Delivering food. That shit's lovely to see, man, because we weren't doing that last year as a world. We weren't doing that. We were out buying Nike trainers and, you know, trying to buy the next weed bag and whatever else, you know. So this year's obviously, no matter how much horror comes of it, which is obviously disgusting and scary, we're doing a lot for each other, man. And I know creatively, yeah, I mean, look, creative in my world, it just saves people's lives. So as long as people are creative, or as many people as creative as possible, we'll get through it, man. That was dope chatting to you, Diego, man. You really fucking shocked me. I didn't expect any of that. I thought, because all I'd seen was like a few graph pieces. I can't remember even how I saw it. It must have been on your Instagram. Like, I remember seeing some, I think it was a massive blockbuster,
right?
Like, oh, sick, definitely was a writer. Okay, sick. And yeah. then, like, to hear these little connections, and I thought I was expecting the college, and yeah, oh, brilliant. I didn't expect the school. That was a nice touch. And then to hear you with that Lupus thing, while I'm sitting here looking at this icon thinking, I'm sure I know that.
Yeah, I'll send you some stuff.
So look, man, the main part of the story is basically just said is, you know, creativity is just, it saves lives in a way, man. It gives us such great direction, man. And I love your journey. And I love that it was picked up on and you're allowed to nurture it. And I hope that's inspiring for people to, you know, especially for parents, man, for us to look on this shit and say, no, look what our kid's up to. Give him a minute, man. Don't fucking make him do that science shit.
Yeah.
Might need to push him this direction.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wicked, man. Well, it was lovely to chat to you, Diego.
Yeah, great talking to you, man.
Wicked, bro. Wicked. Well, enjoy your day.
You too, man.
I'll catch you in a bit.
Yep.
Another dope resonating chat. so grateful for being part of this creative world, man. And when you hear that there's some guys on the inside putting the culture front and centre in their creative avenues, it makes me even happier. Diego doing animation has had names from our world appear in many virtual spaces, and there are many more like him. I love that. It's our culture getting older and deeper into the cracks of society because of the consistency and effort we put into it. And Diego, well, he's a great example of that. I love that he had the opportunity to advance his creative side at a young age and get a heavily biased education. It really helped nurture all that was in him and get him on that great journey. And hearing about Leapos as well, that was dope. I love the Worcester Collective blog. I remember seeing that paste up and how many cities he hit worldwide. That was a lovely surprise in the interview, real genuine. Go check his work out in the new Tony Hawk's when it drops, and look out for the trailer that's out there now. And, you know, keep an eye out for all his other work, man. It's fucking dope. That's another Art Gang member right there. We're winning. Keep safe, everyone. Last week we lost TY, a great UK musician, and properly loved his music. You can go and check out the interview I did with him last year on SoundCloud or iTunes, or even go to that website, f24podcast.com, and there's loads of photos that go along with this. So you can see who I'm talking to. And I've also dropped a zine. It's called Quarantine Zine 2020 on Instagram. It's on the end of the rarekindagency.com website. There's a shop there. And I'm basically releasing zines for the next... for the foreseeable future. Just showcasing artwork by different artists and the stuff they're producing in this mental lockdown period. And a few reminisced old photos as well. So go and check that out. And love your city and love your culture. This is F24.